You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio and Instagram. I am your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland, and I am here to help you break free from body shame, binging, and diets that don't work. I want you to wake up and think about your day, not your diet. And by the way, if you love the show, please take a moment to rate or review it on Apple Podcasts. Just look for the Dr. Nina Show on LA Talk Radio. I really appreciate your support. And if you would like to join me today, the number is 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. I would love to hear what is on your mind, what is eating at you, because the real problem with binging, stress eating, any kind of emotional eating, the real problem is not food. It is not what you're eating that is the problem. It is why. It is what's eating at you. And that's what we're going to talk about. So while I'm waiting for you all to call in, I have some questions that people wrote me. One of them is, how do I comfort myself without food? Hey, everybody on Instagram. Good to see you. How do I comfort myself without using food? In fact, I got this question so many times this week that I decided I had to talk about it on the show. So how do we comfort ourselves? First, we have to identify what we're comforting. That's where my food mood formula comes in. First, you identify what's eating at you, what's going on with you. You use the formula. If it's smooth and creamy that you're turning to, that's a sign that you need comfort. If it's bulky, filling foods, pizza, pasta, bread, muffins, cakes, that kind of thing, maybe you're filling a void. Symbolically, maybe you're lonely, maybe you're empty. If it is crunchy, anything with a bite, think about what is frustrating you, what is pissing you off, making you mad, making you angry. Think about if you weren't getting mad at yourself for what you're eating, or if you weren't eating those chips or pretzels or whatever, what would be bothering you? And we have a caller. Hi, caller. Hello? All right. I don't hear anyone. Hello? Okay. So next, they hung up. All right. So then first you identify what's going on. What is it that you need to respond to? Then you express your feelings. And this is the step that most people overlook. They go right to, oh, I'm feeling this, but it's okay. It's going to be better. It's not so bad. It could be worse. I should be grateful, all that stuff. And they overlook the most essential part of this, how to comfort yourself, which is to express what's going on. So if you are angry, to express it. If you're sad, if you're lonely, if you're guilty, if you feel shame, whatever is going on, to express it with words. And then to use comfort. Here's what comfort sounds like. Validate, acknowledge, and reassure yourself. And there are a few more steps to this, and I'm going to get to that. But first, really important. You express what you feel. Oh, I'm so mad at my boss. He or she is just really on my last nerve because they did this, this, and this. Ugh. Or, oh, I'm so sad that my friend isn't I can't reach her. She's not available. Something's going on. I'm really sad about that. To really just express it first. How do you get rid of feelings? By feeling them. As counterintuitive as that may sound, the only way to get rid of feelings is to feel them. Yes, Josh, that is what you are saying on Instagram. Sometimes it is good to just feel emotions, right? You've got to feel it, and you do that when you express it. And by the way, really important, emotions are felt. Why are they called feelings? Because we feel them in our bodies. We don't think them. So many a time people have said to me, well, I realize I'm very angry. I'm very mad. That is not feeling anger. That is identifying anger. Oh, I'm very sad. That's identifying sadness. I feel guilty. That's identifying it. Feeling it is, oh, I'm so upset. Oh, I'm so upset. Right? I'm sad. Oh, I feel so guilty. Oh, right? See the difference? And when you express it that way, you feel it in your body. And that's how we get rid of it. We have to feel our feelings. What you feel, you will heal. The next step is, now that you've identified it, expressed it, now comes the comfort. You validate and acknowledge and reassure yourself. Instead of going right to, oh, but it'll be okay. Oh, but I should be grateful that it's not worse. Oh, whatever, which are all rather dismissive. You have to say, of course I feel this way. Of course I do. How could I not? Of course I feel this way. Look at this situation. Who wouldn't feel this way? And even if someone wouldn't feel it in your mind, you feel it. And that's important. You have to, you know, validate and acknowledge those two kind of go together, what it is that's going on within you. And then you go to the reassurance. And the reassurance, it might be, hey, everything's going to be okay. But if you just go to, well, everything's going to be okay without expressing and validating and acknowledging what you're feeling, it's not going to be very satisfying. So it's, oh, I'll just use mad. Oh, I'm so mad at I'm so mad at my boss. A lot of people can relate to that. Because of this, this, this. Oh, I'm so frustrated that they did this. I'm angry that they did this. Right? You got to feel it. And then validate and acknowledge. Of course I feel this way. Who wouldn't feel this way when their boss is doing this to them and treating them so unfairly? Who wouldn't feel this way? Of course I feel this way. The person is treating me this way. Duh, it's upsetting. Of course it is. Right? Validate, acknowledge, and then reassure. But I have dealt with my boss in other ways, and I've dealt with difficult people, and I will find a way to deal with this situation as well. What can I learn from this? Let me strategize. It won't always be this way. I know that I can turn this around, whatever it is. So vary your response is comforting. Validate, acknowledge, reassure. And the why stands for yourself. Okay. Now, make sure that you are talking to yourself in a way that would be similar to how you would talk to a friend. Because often we talk to ourselves one way and we talk to our friends another way. I used to have a group that met in my office back in the day, before 2020, and they would all be so kind to each other. Someone would say, oh my God, I just couldn't stop eating last night and it was a nightmare and I ate the kitchen. And other people would say, oh, well, it's okay. Like, there must have been a reason. Try to understand why. What was eating at you? What was going on? It's all right. And really warm, supportive, understanding, validating, assuring, reassuring. And then when it would get to their turn to talk, they would say, oh, I'm so disgusted with myself. I can't believe I ate. So you notice how they treated the other people so nicely. But when it came to themselves, it was, oh, disgusting. You got to treat yourself as you would treat a friend. You've got to speak to yourself as you would speak to a friend. You know, there's an old saying, if you spoke to your friends the way you speak to your body, you'd have no friends left. So let's reverse it. How about speak to yourself the way you speak to your friends? Speak to your body, speak to yourself the way you speak to your friends. You're going to feel a lot better. And when you're doing that, because changing the way you talk to yourself is very, very powerful. For when you're doing that, here's some things to keep in mind. So often we talk to ourselves as if we're talking to someone else. So for example, I've used this example a lot because it's so perfect. So a few years ago, when we were all going in person to holiday parties, one of my patients said to me that she was going to go to this holiday party, give herself permission to eat whatever. She wasn't going to restrict because that always leads to binging, and that she was feeling, you know, pretty good about it. And she went to the party, and at first she was, as she put it, good, which is, that's a warning sign. And then she just started eating everything there, and she overate everything. And as she was driving back from the party, she said to herself, "You are so disgusting. You are never going to lose weight. You are awful. You just have no willpower. You have no control. You are gross." Something along those lines. Might have even been worse than that. So what do you notice about the way she was talking to herself? Yes, it was mean. It was not, she was not asking herself, why did I eat so much? What was going on with me? Was I nervous or self-conscious being around my coworkers? Was something on my mind? Was I having to be nice to the coworker that I really despise, and that was hard for me, and I feel bad despising someone, so I would rather be mad at myself for eating than go, ugh, I don't like her? No, she did none of that. She just attacked herself, and she did it in the second person voice. She didn't say, I am so gross. I am so disgusting. I have no willpower. She said, you. She was talking about herself. She was talking to herself, but she talked to herself in the second person voice. You're so disgusting. You have no willpower. You have no control. Well, when we talk to ourselves in the second person pronoun, when we talk to ourselves from a you place, we're often super mean, super mean. In fact, I said, you know what? Try that again. Repeat exactly what you said, but say it from a first person pronoun. Say it from an I place. Say, I am so gross. I am so disgusting. I have no willpower. And she couldn't do it because she said it felt harsh. And that is exactly the point. It feels harsh. It is harsh to be mean to yourself that way. So when you think about comforting yourselves in yourself in a way other than with food, think about the way you talk to yourself. Because if you talk to yourself in that super mean second person voice, you might then turn to food just to get away from your own mean voice. Right? So be really aware of the way that you talk to yourself. Would you say that to a friend? If a friend ate too much at a party, would you say, you are disgusting, you have no willpower? No. What would you say to your friend? Okay. You've been depriving yourself. Maybe you overdid it a little. Maybe something emotional was going on. Let's look at that. You wouldn't just say mean, harsh, vituperative things to her. So really be a friend to yourself. And then also, when it comes to comfort, be sure to watch your tone. Someone else once came to me and she said that she tried this talking to herself thing, and she's like, Dr. Nina, it did not work. It did not work at all. This doesn't work. So I asked her to repeat what she had said to herself and how she had said it. And she said something along the lines of, it's okay. It's going to be better. You're going to be all right. Well, shocker, she didn't feel better. Would she say to a friend, it's all right. You're going to be okay. You're fine. No, because that doesn't make you feel better. So you could say the same words, but in a very different tone. You could say, it's okay. You're going to be all right. It's going to be fine. You're going to work this out, right? And so you're okay versus you're okay. Or better yet, I'm okay. I'm okay. Another reason why we want to stay with the I instead of the you is when we say I, we feel it more within. When we say you, it's too much external. It's like it's a distancing language. So even when you say, oh, you know, you did that great. if you're talking to yourself, you did great. If you say, well, I did great, it just feels more resonant. It just feels so much better to come from a place of I. Okay, so identify what you are feeling by using the food mood formula. By the way, if you don't have it, if it is available on my website, or if you're on Instagram, it is available in the links in my bio. Use the food mood formula to identify what's going on with you and what you're actually feeling. Instead of focusing on the food, on what you're eating, focus on why. Then express your feelings. Express what's going on with words. Then reassure yourself, validate, acknowledge, reassure yourself, respond to yourself in a comforting way. Caller, hold on. Oh, Josh, hold on. Then make sure that you're doing it in a kind, loving, supportive voice. Talk to yourself as you would talk to a friend. Oh, thank you, Himani. That's so sweet. And hello, Josh. Sorry, I didn't see that you were on. Hi, Josh.
Hi, Dr. Nina. Hi. I just wanted to talk about something I talked about last week, which is a feeling of despair that's not necessarily related to one's life situation, but sort of just a non-specific feeling that just something isn't right. And, you know, I would obviously be, for myself, wanting to feel that feeling because there's ways to get around it. Certainly eating or fasting or not eating would be a way to deal with it as well.
No, it would not. Nope, it would not. Despair is not dealt with by eating or fasting. Fasting or eating are simply bodily things that you're doing. The way to deal with despair is to articulate it, is to speak, why are you feeling this despair? And then respond to it in words. You know, this is sort of a perfect call, Josh, because, you know, what you are doing is not responding to the despair. It is distracting from the despair. And we can only distract so much. And then we feel it again. We have to process it. And the way to process it is to speak it and then respond. So I think you need to be interested in what is causing this despair.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I would just be very careful not to say, oh, you're feeling despair, so your life must be terrible. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is a non-specific despair that would be extremely difficult to put into words that is not at all tied to normal, say, despair, I lost my job, this is happening. I want to make that distinction very clear, and I'm hoping that you will believe that something like this does exist.
Of course it exists. It's you know, existential anxiety kind of a thing, right? It's some kind of ambient sense of gloom or doom or despair or a feeling of desperate sadness without a reason. But there is a reason. It's just not as overt as, oh, I lost my job, right? It's something more subtle, but something also more pervasive.
Yeah, because it's not so easy. I mean, if you lost your job, everyone would understand if you had despair. But if you have despair for no reason, that's almost worse. And you said existential. I wouldn't even want to label it as existential because I'm not an existential philosopher. You might be, but we would have
Josh,
to really
very literal.
Do some
you're
work.
Very literal.
To call it.
Existential anxiety. Existential anxiety is sort of refers to the that sense of, you know, like there's something wrong in the universe, or you just feel this sense of badness or wrongness or despair, something of that nature. But it does come from somewhere. It's just not available to you.
So what I would say, what I would say, now you've used the word existential. What I would say is just, maybe it's just an absence of love. Maybe that's all it is.
So an absence of love is like, you know, I've often made this association. There's this Sandra Bullock movie where she's an astronaut, and I couldn't watch the movie because just the preview for it freaked me out so much. I forget what the movie is called, probably Motivated Forgetting, but the preview was her the spaceship, and then she was cut loose from the spaceship in space, floating, and cut loose from this sort of umbilical cord to her spaceship.
Is that with George Clooney?
Maybe. I don't know. It's the only one she did where she was an astronaut. So I think so. But that kind of vast, desperate aloneness, you know, lack of
yeah,
love.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I mean, I know you know what I'm talking about.
Thank you. Interstellar. Carly Gash is on Instagram. She's like, Interstellar? I think that was what it was called. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Interstellar or the other astronaut movie. Yeah. So I think that, you know, maybe gratitude, grateful for good.
Gravity? Okay. No.
Yeah,
no.
Gravity. That's gratitude, right. Gravity.
Gratitude is not what you do first, because gratitude is a way of, thank you, Carly Gash, gravity. Gratitude is something that that can be very dismissive. If you're in a place of pain, let's use a physical pain. If you break both your legs and someone says to you, oh, you just need to be grateful that you didn't also break your back and at least you'll be able to walk, it doesn't make you feel better. You have to say, oh, I broke both my legs. This is really painful. This is really difficult. Now, I am going to be able to walk again and that makes me feel better, but God, this is hard. Gratitude is so often used to dismiss our experience. And I am not saying don't be grateful. I'm saying don't use gratitude as a way to nullify or repress what is going on with you. If you feel despair, gratitude is not the answer. One of the mistakes that most people make with someone who is, for example, suicidal is to tell them all the reasons why they should want to live. And that doesn't work, because what works is saying, tell me how painful it is to live. Tell me about your pain. Express it. I want to hear it. That's how we deal with pain. We don't use gratitude to try to dismiss it.
Yeah, but I would also say we can also become competitive in a sense. I mean, that's kind of a strange word to use, but I feel like we can just be busy, busy, busy. And that can also be a way that we not dismiss it, but we use it maybe constructively, but maybe we shouldn't even be using it constructively. Maybe we should just be recognizing it.
Well, Josh, you're making some very good points. So, a couple years ago, I co-edited a book with my mentor, Dr. Salman Akhtar, called Beyond the Primal Addiction. And even though I don't like the word addiction, it was all types of addiction. So I wrote about food addiction, which of course is not a thing. Eating addiction, maybe. I hate the word addiction. But all of these things that we wrote about, or that other people contributed chapters to also, and Salman wrote about work addiction. So when you talk about being busy, work addiction, for example, is a virtue and a vice. But often we use it as a distraction from our inner worlds. We use food, work, gambling, internet, shopping, sex, alcohol. We use so many things to escape ourselves, rather than learn to be with ourselves and respond to ourselves. And so when you say you have despair, and I would like to challenge you to talk about that from what you are feeling, not go to the general, stay with the you. If you are feeling despair and you associated to loneliness, to loss of love or lack of love, actually, that's something for you to process and work through.
Yeah. And I would almost want to say that it's almost like it's autistic in a way. I would hate to use that word because I don't mean autism, but I want to say that it's sort of like the busyness is not really an anxiety defense. It's different than, say, obsessive compulsiveness. I'm not a psychologist.
Josh, so I want to call you on something.
Go ahead. Okay.
You call all the time. I feel like I can do this.
Okay.
When I ask you to stay with your feelings, your emotions, your experience, you go to your head and you start thinking. And that is the problem. Instead of thinking about it and intellectualizing, and you're obviously a very smart guy, but this intellectualizing is not going to help your despair. You have to get in touch with that despair to express it, to see where it comes from, but mostly also to express it, to name it, to you know, kind of articulate it instead of talking about
And, you know, I know that you are an artist, right? You paint. And I feel like maybe the way to do that might not be verbally. It might be through the arts or something like that, or music or poetry. I hate to say that because I know you don't like to, you want me to talk about it, but I'm not sure it can be talked about.
You make a very good point. Expressing it doesn't always mean words. Especially for creative people, it can mean art. It can mean other forms of expression. So whatever it is, but I still think that putting words to it is the most powerful, and maybe doing art is your way of expressing it. Do that. Paint a picture of despair.
Yeah, despair, that's what I mean. Yes.
Write a song about despair, right? I mean, there's words. Absolutely. But you see my point, and you're getting it. You can't, eating is not a response to despair. It is a distraction. Starving, you can't starve away despair, and you can't stuff it down. And you can't.
No, because, yeah, that's right. Because even if you were being artistic, you would be very much, you would be nurturing yourself. You would be loving yourself doing that.
So what are you going to do to express this despair?
Well, that's a good question. I could write a song on a guitar. I feel like that's going to be my outlet for me. I know yours is painting, but I don't want to put you into a box on being a painter or an artist like that. But I think it would be music for me.
Okay. And that's words. That's words. Even the notes are words, even if there aren't actual words. It's like for musicians, the notes are like words. So that's how you express it. By the way, just to clarify,
but I also painting like is, writing. I also
okay,
like writing.
Words. Words.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, but I also like talking. I mean, I don't feel like writing is that different from talking. I do feel it has to do with love, you know. So, I mean, love is, you know, that's why the arts exist, right?
Love and hate and everything in between and the human experience, absolutely. So now, instead of trying to stuff down this despair or starve it away, put words to it, whether it's music, writing, art, talking. That's how we deal with it. Not distracting.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, the despair can move into mourning. mourning is one of those things that we talked about last week as well, I think. And mourning is sort of more productive.
Well, mourning is how we heal from pain. And we have to go through the process of mourning in order to heal. Mourning doesn't change the situation. It just changes the way we feel about the situation. And the grim example, but it's so perfect, is, you know, when someone passes away, we don't mourn to bring them back. They're gone. But we mourn so that we come to terms with the loss, and we come to terms with, you know, our loss, and the pain is less. So if you feel despair about what you're not sure, you know, that's also something to be curious about. Again, loss of life has to be mourned.
Yeah, and I want to also say, you know, we never really talk about this, or you never really talk about this. I shouldn't say we, but psychoanalysis can also be sometimes very artistic. And I got a chance to look at your mentor's new book, which I just ordered the preview copy. So I have like maybe 20 pages or something like that. And that to me can be very artistic. And he's a good writer. And I was very sort of taken by what just a few pages that I had read.
Yes, Dr. Salman Akhtar, who I'm lucky enough to have as my mentor, and he's an amazing person. He also has written some books of poetry. Look, psychoanalysis, psychotherapy, psychoanalysis is an art and a science. I think it's more of an art than a science, but absolutely. So enjoy that book. I think that his book will, his 100th book, by the way, his 100th book, I think that you will find it very soul stirring, you know?
Yeah, I found the introduction where he, just really briefly, I'll just say that he starts the book by saying, this is all of the things that I'm not going to say in the book, which is sort of comical, but it was not comical. It was deadly serious, I found.
Yes.
You know,
quite an endeavor. He's an amazing person. So Josh, to get out of despair, you have to get into despair. So think about it.
Yeah.
And express it in however many ways you can. And when you do that, you're not going to be using food, either turning away from it or to it, as a way of managing it, which is really distracting from it. And let me know how it goes.
I hope people listening can understand what we were talking about, because I think it's important.
It's very important. I know that Kylene wrote, the example of tell me what is so painful that suicide is an option was very helpful to her. Yeah, Kylene, I'm sorry that you're in a state where that might have to be helpful to you, but the way to get rid of our pain, whether it is despair or whatever form of pain it is to give it a voice and to be heard. I also think it's not enough to just say to yourself, oh, I'm in despair because I have no love in my life. No, you have to be heard. We need a witness to our experience. We need witnesses to our
experience. Yeah, and if we were to use psychoanalysis to cure the despair, it could just be the art of psychoanalysis, you know, the art of theory or making the unconscious conscious or desire or whatever the myriad things that psychoanalysis likes to talk about.
I love that you are such a stalwart supporter of psychoanalysis, contemporary psychoanalysis. By the way, we're talking about not Freudian, not. So tell me about your mother. No.
Oh, but love Freud. I love Freud. I do love Freud. I don't understand Freud, but I love Freud, you know.
I'm glad. Well, the Freud that you're the real Freud is nothing like the Freud that is in the media, but that's a whole other story. Josh, please. please let me know how it goes and how you feel. And you will get it. It is difficult to be in a state of despair. It is painful. It is difficult. It is horrible and it is scary. And by expressing it, you will get through it. You will get on the other side and you will feel better. Okay.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Nina. I appreciate you listening to this. I was a little nervous in bringing this up to you, but I appreciate you heard being out and validated those feelings. Thank you.
Thank you, Josh. And I want you to know you are not alone. You are not alone. Yeah.
Wow. That's a deep one. Very deep.
Hey, you know, go deep or go home, right? I had a friend from Texas and he used to say, you know, go big or go home. I say we go deep or go home. Nothing is done on the surface. You got to go deep. You got to get to the roots. You got to get to the what's in the dark that you don't want to look at in order to heal. So, Josh,
yeah, and that's something your mentor would probably do too. So I think we're on the same page.
I think so. Thank you, Josh.
All right. Thanks so much. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye for now. Yeah, I mean, despair, especially now in these times. A lot of people are in despair. The state of the world, the pandemic, politics, the division, the social unrest, the hatred, the shooting feeling in society, a lot of people feel a sense of despair about the world and their world. Hi, Carly Gash.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, Carly Gash. What's going on?
Hi. I'm very grateful for Josh's call. I can relate so much. So, like this past days, I've been crying so much. I think I finally started slowly stopping running away from feelings and kind of slowly letting myself step into them, like at least like approach them closer
Carly
and like,
Gash.
okay, I need...
Carly Gash, I'm sorry, your voice is a little muffled.
That's best. I'll try like this. Does it sound a little better?
A little better. Yeah, a little better. Yeah. So say more.
I guess I'm learning to not run away from feelings into all those versions which Josh mentioned, you mentioned, but kind of say like, okay, I need to do it the way it should be done, kind of feeling my feelings. I know I don't know how to do it. I mean, nobody taught me, nobody modeled that for me in a healthy way, you know. But I need to do that.
I want to reiterate how you deal with feelings, because we also have some people who are late to the show that I just want to say how to deal with feelings. Pardon me, Carly Gash. Use the food mood formula to identify why you're eating. Express your feelings. Respond to your feelings with the very technique, and do it in a way like the way you would talk to a friend in a loving tone. Carly Gash, are you doing that?
No.
Okay. Which is the part that you are struggling with?
I kind of can catch myself now in the binge and say, why am I binging? But I never go past it. It's kind of, I only came to the point when I can ask myself this question. So I ask it, then I go blank.
Okay. If you go blank, that means there's a part of you that it's motivated blankness and motivated forgetting. There's a part of you that wants to know and a part of you that doesn't want to know. And so that's where food mood formula comes in. You don't have to figure it out. I've figured it out for you. So if you're going to pastries or cakes or whatever, what is that associated? I know you know the food mood formula. What is that associated with? Or tell me the food that you've been going to.
Sometimes I come to the point like where I notice what I eat. If I eat something sweet, like pastry or any sugar stuff, I say, this is sugar. I need some sweetness in my life. And then I go blank. I cannot connect like sweetness. Or I can, like this week, I ate a lot of Russian food. It's like whatever we eat at home back in Kazakhstan, like buckwheat and all this stuff.
Okay, so the food mood formula would be, depending on what kind of pastry it was, would be more like filling a void. Like if it's smooth and creamy, that's you need comfort. If it's kind of bulky and Russian food and eating a lot of it, like that gets associated to home, but it's also associated with emptiness and loneliness. So you don't have to figure out why. That formula gives you the why. What you're missing is, and then what? And you're missing the expressing it. Maybe it's hard to, maybe there's a part of you that's homesick. Maybe there's a part of you that misses Kazakhstan, even though you don't miss Kazakhstan. You know, maybe.
Yeah,
I never
let myself like this feelings to surface, because like for now I cannot do anything to go back and hear. I don't have a lot of like.
Carly Gash, it's not about that. It's not about whether you go back or don't go back. It's how you feel. So you may feel homesick for what is familiar. That doesn't mean, oh, I need to get on a plane and go back to Kazakhstan. What that means is you've got to process how hard it is for you to be away from all that is familiar and process it and speak it and use words like I was talking to Josh about.
Mm-hmm.
Then reassure yourself. Of course, I feel this way. It's really hard to be away from everything that I know, to hear voices that are not my culture, to not hear my language, to not be with what is familiar. Of course that's hard. And then reassure yourself. You see what I mean? You're getting stuck in the first because you're getting stuck there. To get unstuck, you've got to express and respond.
Okay.
I want to give you a chance to do that. I want to give you a chance to do that, right? So talk about the Russian food for a moment.
Back at home, we celebrate New Year. It's just as important as Christmas here. It's the equivalent of Christmas when families get together. You know, kind of, it probably when I was a kid was the happiest holiday of my life. Since in my family, my birthdays were never celebrated, but because I was kind of a communal kid, you know, I used to go to daycare and to schools. So over there, we had like little celebrations and Christmas tree, and somebody would give me presents there. So everything, any celebration was there. So around this time of the year, it doesn't hit me as hard on Thanksgiving, Christmas, since those are like American holidays, and I'm still they're not ingrained in me since childhood. But when kind of New Year approaches, I kind of want to handle it better every year. But I think I start panicking around that time when I see people on Instagram putting on Christmas trees, you know, making this all perfect pictures the way they usually are so good and they're making those perfect pictures, making others depressed, you know. So I guess I just, the whole year I work, like Josh said, keeping busy. But at the end of the year, when this family time comes, it's very hard for me. So
what I'm hearing is you feel sad. You feel sad. You feel maybe disconnected. And that sadness and that loneliness and that sense of disconnection needs your needs your attention, not your distraction. Of course you're sad. It's really hard to get in touch with feelings you've been trying to not feel. It's really hard to get in touch with that. It's really hard to see things that remind you of home and remind you of the happy times. Of course it's hard. And by expressing it and talking about it, and you know, it's not going to totally go away, but you're going to feel better. And maybe if you turn to other people instead of to food, you can find people here where you can do things with and create a new celebration while you're here and not feel so alone.
Okay. I feel a little better. I got a little perspective and hope that it's a feeling and I can change the feeling by using your technique and I don't have to be stuck in it because it feels very bad. It's just not uncomfortable, nothing good and just being in those feelings.
And also uncomfortable, bad, those are words that mean something but don't mean something. Uncomfortable can mean a lot of different things and it's sort of a soft word. Like I remember I went to the doctor and I was in horrible pain and he's like, yes, I can see you're feeling a little bit of discomfort. I'm like, discomfort? This hurts. What are you saying, discomfort?
You know, so some doctors say that.
I'm like, what? But all emotions come down to mad, sad, glad, or afraid. So ask yourself, am I angry? Am I mad? Sad, happy, afraid, which can be anxious, worried, whatever. Instead of uncomfortable or bad, am I mad? Am I sad? Am I afraid?
Okay. I think I feel all of them together and they kind of, what I need is just to kind of separate them and understand what I'm feeling at the moment and why. Because right now they kind of all together kind of mumble, entangled all those emotions. That's why I think I get stuck, go blank, because I cannot sort things out. I'm kind of standing in the center of this mess, and these emotions kind of fly around me all together at the same time.
Yeah, so yes. Then take one. Like if you're feeling mad and sad and afraid, which of those is the most intense? There is going to be one of them that you're going to feel more than others. Go with that first.
Okay.
I'm more sad than mad and afraid. And just start with one.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. That's a good strategy.
Okay. You can do it, Carly Gash.
Thank you.
So food mood formula. Don't ask yourself why. Forget the why. Just go, food mood formula. What is it telling me? Then express. Go to page 45 of the Binge Cure. Finish the prompts.
Mm-hmm.
Or listening. I know you're listening to the book. So wherever in the audiobook I give the prompts, go to that.
Mm-hmm.
Finish the prompts. Then use the very response. And you just do it over and over and over. And you will feel better. And then you won't need to use food for comfort or distraction.
Okay, I will do my best to practice expressing feelings because I come to like, okay, I feel anger, but and then I listen to your book, audiobook, where you said, page 45, I'm angry because, and then I'm like kind of distract myself. So I'm avoiding expressing, but this week I'll challenge myself and I will express them.
Excellent, Carly Gash. Don't just identify, express. I look forward to hearing how it goes.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dr. Nina. Thank you, Josh.
Thanks, Carly Gash. Okay. And boy, that is our show for today. I can't believe how fast this time went. I am so happy to have spent it with you and I hope to have given you some food for thought. If you would like to know more, please head on over to my website, drninainc.com, drnina.com, where you can get my food mood formula and see other resources that I have for you so that you can really heal your relationship with yourself and with food. If you're on Instagram, head over to my bio. You can get the food mood formula there, as well as links to the other things that I was talking about, including getting my book, The Binge Cure. Here we go. 7 steps to outsmart emotional eating. Yes, you really can do it. And I want to thank my callers, Josh and Carly Gash, for sharing their thoughts and their feelings and their struggles. It takes so much courage to do that, and I'd want to honor that. So I am here every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, here on LA Talk Radio and Instagram. And you can listen later on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Dr. Nina Show on LA Talk Radio on Apple Podcasts. Have a wonderful week. Stay curious, not critical. And I'll see you next week. Bye for now.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.